You know, it's always a little bit of a guessing game when we have our when we lose an hour when it's daylight savings. And I know, how many of you guys like your sleep? Raise your hand. How many of you guys like extra sleep? Raise your hand. Oh yeah. So it's been a big weekend. So it's been fun. Bennett actually participated in the Fine Arts Festival yesterday. Can we give Bennett a hand? And he wrote a book chapter, and he did a great job. And he was excited about that. So we were, me and Aaron, Bennett, and Nate and Liz were in Northville at Ward Church yesterday. And so that was a lot of fun. It's essentially where students come together and they use their gifts. And then it's a lot of fun. And so that happened yesterday. And so I'm a little tired today. I lost an hour of sleep, and so it's all good. So if you guys have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me real quick to Genesis chapter 13. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 4. You know, last week we started a new series called Abraham, the Genesis of Faith. Abraham, the Genesis of Faith. We talked about how Abram, we kind of talked about his origin, and we talked about how there was a call that was given. And we talked about how that call is universal. And how there in that moment, God called Abram to step out in his faith. And it was a moment where, you know, we talked about how his father, Terah, had felt led to Canaan too, but he hadn't gone and he stopped in Haran. And how he had stopped short. And how God, you know, a lot of times I feel like hurt or sorrow or the things of life can stop us short from the call, but God's call is for us, and so we talked about the call last week. And today we're going to talk about the choice. Can you say the choice? Say it one more time, guys. The choice, the choice, the choice. We're going to talk about the... How many of you guys like to make choices? Yeah? A little bit? No one likes to make choices. Okay, I'm going to give you guys a choice. Coke or Pepsi? How many say Coke? How many say Pepsi? Oh yeah, we got a Coke house. That sounds wrong. Never mind. Alrighty. What about Ford or Chevy? How many say Ford? Oh my goodness, we have a Ford house. Oh my goodness. Apple or Android? Apple. Android. Okay, Apple. Coke, Ford, Apple. Michigan. Michigan State. Michigan. Michigan State. King James or NIV? Neither. ESV? ESV? King James? NIV?
NLT?
Oh my goodness. Okay. Tea? Coffee? How many of you guys like tea? How many of you guys prefer coffee? We have a coffee house. All right. So... that totally backfired on me. I apologize. Bennett, please remove that from the recording. So in Genesis chapter 13, that was a total accident. Genesis chapter 13, we're going to be talking about the choice today. Genesis chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. It says, so Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev. And really, if you look at a biblical map, it is an area, it's a land area that's just south of Jerusalem. That means dry wasteland. And so he went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everyone he had, and Lot went with him. And Abram became very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. From the Negev, he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier, and where he had first built the altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. I'm going to read that again. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and in gold. From the Negev he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier, and where he had first built an altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. God, please be with us today as we just talk about your word and as we delve into your word. God, may you just speak to us and may you minister to us, and may your word come alive. In your holy name, amen. So Abram went up from Egypt, and he took his wife, and he took Lot, and he took his family, and he went back to Bethel. And Bethel is located just south of Jerusalem, about 11 miles, and Bethel means the house of God. And this is the place. Bethel is an interesting place. If you look at Bethel throughout Scripture, it's mentioned multiple times, but it's the place where his grandson Jacob would have an encounter with God and would see the ladder coming down from heaven. And so he was going back to the spot where he first built an altar in Genesis chapter 12, verse 8, and where he had heard from God in Genesis chapter 12. And so I'm just going to show you guys real quick a biblical map. I think Bennett has it available for us. We're going to look at this biblical map. I don't know if you can see this or not, but back in Genesis chapter 12, we can see that Abram had started in Ur. Can you guys see this on the map here? Started in Ur here on the far right side of the map. And when he was in Ur, that's where him and his family started. And Abram with his father, was going to head to Canaan. With his father, they set out for Canaan and they stopped in Haran. Do you see Haran up towards the top of the biblical map there? And it was in Haran where God spoke to Abram, and he gave him the call to be the father of many nations and to be the blessing, the Abrahamic blessing in Genesis chapter 12. And from Haran, Abram was kind of fulfilling his father's call. And so Abram went down and went into Canaan, and he traveled around a little bit. And if you look in that Genesis chapter 12, he stopped in Bethel, and he pitched a tent in Bethel. This is in Genesis chapter 12. He pitched a tent in Bethel, and he began to worship the Lord there, and he was seeking God's presence. Now, what's interesting is what happens is after he receives the call, he listens to the Lord. He goes to Canaan. He goes to Bethel. Actually, there's three different spots where he builds altars in Canaan. And what happens is while he's in Canaan, there's a severe famine that hit the land in Canaan. And so the water dried up and the plants dried up, and there was nothing for his livestock to eat. There was a severe famine that hit. And so I believe that what Abram did in Genesis chapter 12 and just the previous chapter is I think that he went outside of the will of the Lord. And he went from Canaan, where God had called him to, because of the famine, because of the hardship that was happening, he traveled all the way down. In fact, if you look at that, the journey map, he went all the way down from Bethel, all the way down to Egypt, okay? So God had called him to Canaan, but because of the famine that had happened in Canaan, I believe he went outside of the will of God and went to Egypt. Do you see that? And it wasn't just like a small step that he took. You know, I don't know if you can see in the far right there, it has like in miles, kind of the distance. It was about 200 miles that he went out of the way to go into Egypt to leave Canaan. Are you guys with me this morning as I'm talking about this biblical map? And I'm sure you guys are very excited about all this information. And so so God called him to Canaan. There was a severe famine that hit Canaan. And instead of staying in Canaan where God had called him, Abram decided that he was going to travel into Egypt. Now, I would have said that if everything would have worked out fine in Egypt, maybe that's where God had called him to go. But first of all, if you look at what happened as he was going into Egypt, you can see, and again, you can read about this in Genesis chapter 12, you can see that the things that he was doing were deceitful. So as he was going to Egypt, he had a beautiful wife, and he decided that he didn't want to have any type of like issues with his wife. And so he told his wife, and he told his family that he wanted them to tell everyone that it wasn't his wife, but that it was his sister. And so there was lying and there was deceit. And Pharaoh ended up taking his wife, who he thought was his sister. He ended up taking his wife and daughter's sister into his, like, into his people. And then Pharaoh and all of his family got sick. And then Pharaoh found out about it. And he essentially kicked Abram and his family out of Egypt. You know what I'm talking about? And so it's this. I believe what happened is as Moses was not Moses, Abram, he was called to Canaan, but as difficulties came, he fled to Egypt, and I think him going to Egypt was outside of the call and the will of the Lord. And I will say that I think that there were lots of benefits for Abram to go to Egypt. There were lots of people in Egypt, which would have been maybe a little bit different than traveling the dry wasteland of Canaan. There was lots of food in Egypt. There was garlic and lentils and onions and grapes and all sorts of things. There was lots of water in Egypt. In fact, once a year, the floodplain would fill, and the Egyptians had built canals and irrigation system to handle the water and collect the water. So there was lots of people, there was lots of food, there was lots of water. I think everything that one would have wanted in visiting a place, they had advanced technology in Egypt. There would have been a lot of reasons why Abram would have wanted to go to Egypt. But Abram was stepping outside of the will of God. He was doing his plan instead of God's plan. He was doing his thing instead of God's thing. And maybe it just started with like one little step. Maybe it started in a step in the wrong direction. And then maybe he took another step and another step and another step. And before he knew it, he was 200 miles in the wrong direction. I don't know if you've ever been in that spot in your life before where it starts with a step. It starts with a wrong decision. It starts with a wrong way. And before you know it, you're way out of the way. But I look at Abram and I look at his decisions and I look really at the second part of Genesis chapter 12 and I see it as a detour, a major detour along the way. Has anyone ever had a detour? Man. I took one this morning, praise the Lord. Has anyone ever had a moment where, man, you made the wrong choice? You thought you were doing what you thought was right for you. You thought you were doing what was right for your family. You thought what you were doing was the appropriate thing. And then you look back and you're like, oh my goodness, that was definitely the wrong choice. That was the wrong place to go. I should have never went there. I should have never stepped there. I should have never gone there. Man, when I look at the mistakes that I made when I went there, what was I thinking? Anyone else? Like, what was I thinking when I got into that relationship? Like, what was I thinking? Like, when I look back, it's like 2020. I look back and I'm like, man, that girl was crazy. You guys with me this morning? Like you take that step and you take that, like, oh my God, like, what was I thinking? I remember many years ago when I first moved to Michigan, I had a job where I was working as a security guard, and I'm very threatening, and I was a very good security guard, thank you very much. And I took a wrong turn, and I ended up in the heart of Detroit. And I remember in there, and I was trying to find out where I was going. I was driving an old Buick Skylark that was rusty, and I was trying to figure out where I was. This was before all the fun GPS stuff with your phones. I remember getting lost, and I remember thinking to myself, what was I thinking? Where did I turn? Where did I go wrong? I don't even know what happened, but suddenly here I find myself in the middle of the city driving. I don't even know where. I don't know. Have you ever felt like you've made some bad decisions? You made some bad choices. It's like, what was I doing? I don't understand what I, like, if you could go back and talk to your previous self, you'd slap yourself upside the head and be like, come on, Al, get with it. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? Like, what was I thinking? What was I doing? Why did I make those choices? Why did I do that? It seemed good at the time to go to Egypt. It seemed like it was a great decision to go to Egypt. They have food, and they have nice people, and they have But why did I tell everyone to pretend that my wife was my sister? And what was I thinking? What was I doing? Why did I go here? Why did I put my family at risk? Why did I make these poor decisions? Why did I do this crazy stuff? This seemed like I'm supposed to be a man of faith, and yet here I am lying and being deceptive and going to a place that I shouldn't have gone to. I knew where God had led me. I knew where God had was going to point me with his blessing, and yet I went somewhere I wasn't supposed to go. You know? It's interesting because in Scripture, Egypt is not only often many times as a place of refuge, but Egypt is also mentioned many times as a place of sin and bondage, especially specifically in the New Testament. And here's Abram. He's making some wild decisions, some poor decisions, some bad decisions, some crazy decisions. And then you look at the verse that we just read. It's almost like he came to his senses. And he goes back from Egypt. So he was in Bethel. And he's going down through the dry and barren land, and he goes down to Egypt. He makes a bad decision. I think he was outside of the will of God. He goes down to Egypt. And then he goes back. He goes back to the spot where God had spoken to him. He goes back to the spot. So he goes, first of all, he goes 200 miles out of the way with his entire family, with all of his livestock, 200 miles out of the way, out of God's direction, out of God's will, out of God's provision. And then he goes back to the spot where God had spoken to him, where he had pitched the tent. Yeah, you know, I'm going to seek the Lord again. I'm going to go back and follow his calling. I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back and pursue him again. I might have been distracted for a minute in Egypt, but now I'm going to refocus and I'm going to recommit. I've been going in the wrong direction for quite some time. I went 200 miles out of the way. I was on a detour, but now I'm going back to the spot where God spoke to me before. I'm going back. And as I was reading this and as I was studying this and as I was going over this in my notes, I realized that maybe there are some people that here this morning that have spent some time in Egypt. Maybe there are some people here this morning that have messed up and they have squandered the blessing of the Lord. They've messed up and they've gone in the wrong direction, and they've gone in the wrong direction for quite a while now. In fact, I think 200 miles is quite a distance, especially in ancient times when they were walking around on their feet, and maybe they were walking around, like ancient travel wasn't 200 miles in the wrong direction. I think there are some people that have been going the wrong way. They've messed up and they've squandered, but I believe it's never too late to recommit and to refocus, and that God's invitation for you is this morning, and his invitation is for you to come and to follow him and to seek him while he can be found. In fact, in Scripture it says that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, some of us, I think maybe we've been distracted by the pleasantries of Egypt. We've been distracted by the good things that the world has to offer. We've been distracted by the promises of this life. And we've been walking in the wrong direction. We've been walking and walking and walking. We've been looking at the promises of this world. We've been looking at the excitement of this world, and we're just walking in the wrong direction. And I think God wants to refocus us. He wants to recalibrate us. He wants us to pick up our Bibles, the GPS of our life, and like look at where we're really supposed to be going. Like, we've been going on a detour. You know what I'm talking about this morning? And God wants to refocus us and recalibrate us. And it's never too late for us to go and follow him again. And so you look at what happens is when he recommitted to the call that God, he had a detour. He had a moment, a season of disobedience. But then if you look at what happened with him as he recalibrated his life with the Lord blessed him. And the Lord blessed his obedience. God blessed him with livestock and with gold and with silver. And in Scripture it says that he became very wealthy. In fact, the Lord blessed him so much that he had more livestock than the land could sustain. And so if you can imagine that, like, he went back to a spot where there was severe famine, and kind of against the odds, suddenly the Lord blesses him with gold and livestock, and he becomes very wealthy. And because of all of his livestock and because of all of his family, the land couldn't sustain both Lot and Abram's livestock. And because of this, there was quarreling that began to break out against Lot's herders and Abram's. And so if you look at Genesis chapter 13, we're going to be starting in verse 8 again. It said, "So Abram said to Lot, 'Let's not have quarrels between you and me, or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left.'" And so he was blessed because of his obedience. He was blessed because he came back to the call and to the direction that the Lord had left him. And God blessed him and God blessed his family. But because of there was such a blessing, the land couldn't sustain. And so he speaks to his nephew, Lot, and he's like, "Hey, listen, let's stop this quarreling between the herders. And let's part company. You go to the left, I'll go to the right. Or you go to the right, I'll go to the left." And it's interesting because the land that's spoken of here wasn't promised to Lot, but it was promised to Abram. And Abram, in this passage, you can see that he is humbly and compassionately giving Lot the first choice, although the blessing belonged to Abram. You know, although Abram was the leader, he was deferring to Lot. You know? And so in verse 10, it says, "So Lot looked around and saw the plain of the Jordan toward Zoar was well watered like the garden of the Lord." Can you say the choice? Say one more time, the choice. Last week we talked about the call. We're going to talk about the choice today, the choice. Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan towards Zoar was well watered like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set toward the east, and the two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tent near Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. So imagine the blessing of the Lord and Lot and Abram, their flock, being very, very big, multiplied very much. And I kind of have this picture of Abram maybe taking Lot up on a hill, and they're looking out over the land. And as they're looking out over the land, you know, Abram is prayed up, and he's humbled up, and he remember what he had just experienced in Egypt. You remember that while he was in Egypt, man, Egypt looked so promising. It was full of people. It was filled with blessing. It was filled with food and water. It was filled with all these things. And he remembered that when he was in Egypt and he stepped outside of the will of God, that what happened was, although he was in a place that was flourishing because he was outside of God's will, there was difficulties that were happening there. And so as he gets up on this hill, I imagine he's up on this hill when he's with Lot, and they're looking over the options. And as he looks to the east, man, to the east, things look really good. On the east, to the east, which way is to the east? Is the east, west, east is this way. So as he's looking to the east, he sees the plain of the Jordan. And it's well watered. It's beautiful. In fact, what does it say in Scripture there? It's like the garden of the Lord. Man, that sounds awesome, doesn't it? It's like the garden of the Lord. It's like Egypt. And again, I'm wondering if they didn't mention specifically that it's like Egypt in reference to what had happened in the chapter earlier. He's looking and he's seeing the luscious hills and the water and maybe the cities in the distance. And then as they look to the west, they see in the west there's Canaan. Now we know later in Scripture that Canaan was a land that was flowing with milk and honey. It was a beautiful land. But again, if you refer to Genesis chapter 12, we know that Canaan had just went through a severe famine. So in one direction you have a place that is luscious, that's like the garden of God, that's like Egypt. And on the other, in the other direction, you see a place that had just been scorched with famine, death, despair. Everything was dead. So when Lot got up and he looked and he saw the choices between the east and the west, he looks and he says, "He sees the natural. He sees that he wants to go to the spot where everything looks good. He sees that he wants to go to the spot that's well-watered. He wants to go to the spot where he can see the cities in the distance. He wants to go to the spot where he can see the grapes and the vines and whatever. He wants to go to the spot that looks great." And Abram, in his wisdom and in his discernment, it's like, whatever you choose, I'm going to choose the other. Although it seems like it would have been an obvious choice which place to go. And where did I go? Where am I at? So Lot was looking at the natural. He was looking for the place where there was the most opportunity. He was looking for the place where he could take his whole family. He was looking for the spot that looked the best. But it's ironic that he put himself in choosing the spot that seemed like it was the best, was actually placing himself and his family into a place that would compromise his family, and eventually it would cost him almost everything. Abram, however, had learned from Egypt. He knew that God was his provider. He knew that although the land might look barren, that God can make dead things alive again. He trusted God. Although he wasn't willing to trust God in Genesis chapter 12, he was willing to trust God in Genesis chapter 13. He had learned from his mistakes. And although he made the wrong choice in Genesis chapter 12, he made the right choice in Genesis chapter 13. Listen, sometimes things don't make sense in the natural. You know, a few weeks ago we had missionaries here who were heading to Northern Asia. And as I talked to them, we went out to eat with them. We went to Culver's. Go figure. Hey, by the way, if you guys want to go to Culver's today, that's like our Sunday thing. So we go to Culver's with them, and we're talking with them, and they were talking about their struggle, and they were saying how really for the last 8 years they've been trying to get to Northern Asia, and how one door has closed, and then another door has closed, and then how another door has closed, and another door has closed. And part of me in the natural, I'm like, you guys are crazy. If all these doors are closing and it's been 7 years, you guys are crazy. But they're not looking at the natural, they're looking at the supernatural. You know what I'm talking about this morning? They're not looking at the luscious land, but they're looking at God's promises. I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. Even something simple like, being generous. I think sometimes we look at our generosity, and I think about the story of the five loaves and the two fish. And the people were hungry, and a boy brought forth only five loaves and two fish, and there were 5,000 men, not including women and children. And the natural, it's like, that's insane. That doesn't make any sense at all. But in the supernatural, they picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces. You know, in the natural, sometimes we look at things and we're like, we're not sure if this makes sense. But if we trust God and we trust his will and trust his calling and trust his provisions, God is our provider. Sometimes I think we need to make sure that we're making decisions that align us with the blessings of the Lord. I love what it says in Proverbs chapter 3. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Where is God calling you? What is God calling you to? Might seem crazy. Might seem impossible. It might seem like he's calling you to a dry and barren land. It might seem like he's calling you to something that just doesn't quite make sense. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's your choice. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Lord, today I just pray that you will continue to minister your word. Perhaps there are some people here that have been on a detour. Maybe it's a little detour, or maybe it's a big detour. They've gone several hundred miles in the wrong direction. But God, we know that you're close to the brokenhearted. We know that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. We know it's never too late to recalibrate. It's never too late to go back and be obedient to the calling that you have on our lives, Father. God, you called Abram, but then he learned from his bad choice, and then the second time around, he was faithful. God, may we be people that are faithful. May we listen to the call that you have on our hearts. May we realize that you are our provider. May we realize that you are the owner of the cattle on 1,000 hills. May we know that every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. May we trust in you, knowing that you will direct our paths. God, as we sing this song one last time, may we reflect on your goodness and your grace, and may we be obedient to the call.